Hello and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's the show where we reveal things in a geekly space, on a geekly basis, and just pop culture in general. As always, I am your co-host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the world. And once again, I am joined by my super duper co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are? Once or twice.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I am Captain Steph on Twitter. I am the Snow Queer on Tumblr.
I understand why you're pausing, Steph. It's been the best news in the world has come to pass.
And what is that?
The royal family is pregnant again, specifically the matriarch of the royal family. Did you hear about this?
Do you have a Beyonce?
Yeah, Beyonce's having twins, yo. The royal family is having more kids.
Did you see? I saw, her, like, announcement pictures were gorgeous, but did you see someone put up a picture of a shot from one of the videos in Lemonade? And she's watching, like, her three kids run across the field, and two of them are, like, it's, like, blue, and, like, two who are the same size with the same hair color?
No.
Someone was like, Beyonce is freaking psychic, and I can't handle it. She knew.
Beyonce knows a lot more than we all give her credit for, and I believe we give her credit for a lot. So, I mean, the fact that she's better than we think and we hold her in such high esteem, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And that was the perfect way to start off Black History Month, which is currently occurring, if you are listening to this when it came out and not months in the past. So, happy Black History Month, Steph.
Well, thank you. Happy Black History Month to you too, Dom.
Much appreciated. Have you used this time to celebrate? Because I've just been mostly mourning the state of our country.
Yeah, I'm more on the latter half of that. I am going to try to, I know the month is already a quarter of the way over, but I am going to try to pick up some books by Black authors this month.
You can also just go to anything I've written and leave positive feedback. That's always nice.
I thought that was what I did yesterday when you were writing your post.
I wouldn't call what I did writing a post. It was more of words were created and you're like, you need to make this be something and not just nonsense. Just so you know, like, folks, Steph's an amazing editor, and so is our whole entire crew over at Lady Geek Girl and Friends, and they make sure that my slop is not slop. It's actually something digestible. But yes, I did write a post about something in Black History Month. It was about why you shouldn't give black features to non-human characters to code them weird. It's a riveting read. Also in this month, the 28 Days of Black Cosplay hashtag is back and in full effect. And I've been getting some buzz on the internet. It's nice.
Ooh. Yes, thanks again. What pictures of yourself have you posted? Just the Hamilton, or?
Well, I posted one with a squid, but the Hamilton one coming out of the Doctor Who telephone box has been getting me some nice notifications, so thank you for that costume.
My pleasure.
But yes, that's all the topical things in that are time relevant. But there's also some other news. But before we get into that, after we've already been talking, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I was going to ask you that question, and then my brain just completely shorted out, and you jumped right in with the Beyonce business, so it worked out. But, we're recording a little later than usual. It's a Tuesday. Got some errands to run after we finish, but other than that, it's about as good as a Tuesday gets.
Well, that's good. It was a long weekend, you know.
Yeah.
I had that post going up this morning. This is Tuesday, but I had to do it yesterday, and edits were yesterday, and then you had family visiting on Sunday, and I was in no condition to record because my heart was broken on Sunday night because I care about the sanctity of sports, and once again, we were shown that the world is an unfair place, which we already knew, but the Patriots won the Super Bowl because, you know, kids, if your parents ever say cheaters never win or good things don't happen to bad people, it's bullshit. Good things happen to bad people all the time.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the state of other massive contests of quality, as it were, for the last couple months, I feel like you could have easily predicted. Like, I feel like the hype for Atlanta winning was about the same as the hype for Hillary winning as the game went on. And just as it went on election night, like, as it, you got, like, more and more dismayed as the game went on. So it was with the Super Bowl.
In Hillary's defense, if there was any crapping of the bed done, she had done it previous months. We just had to find out about it on election night. Whereas the Falcons, we got to see them fall apart in real time. Well, I didn't because I didn't watch the game because I knew what was going to happen before it happened. But that was, I mean, don't let this distract you from the fact that the Golden State Warriors blew a 3-game lead in the NBA Finals last year. Think about the fact that they lost so bad. And sorry about all the sports talk, but they lost in such an upsetting way that anytime another team gets upset in another sport completely, they still get brought up. That's a level of badness that you have to just take that with you, you know? And it's it just kind of sucks. But to our loyal nerdy listeners, sorry for all the sports talk. I'm not sorry for all the black talk, but here's some other nerdy stuff. Have you seen this stuff, Steph? Have you seen this great stuff?
I have seen this great stuff, and it's funny because this stuff that we're about to talk about, I'm not loyal to them as a brand. Like, I have, like, if I'm not really into whatever the characters they're portraying are, then I have no affection towards or, like, desire to buy them. But goddamn, if there is a character I like being made into a Funko Pop, they're going to get my $8 to $12 very soon.
That's, yes, the London Toy Fair, I guess it was. It happened a couple weeks ago. We just kind of messed up and missed it for the show, but who cares? It's fine. We love you guys.
We make the rules.
Yes.
It's our show.
And also just general Funko Pop news, because they're always releasing them. So there's two second waves of Funko Pops. Which one do you want to get into first?
Let's do the older one first, and okay, then the newer one second, like we're actually doing the news in order or something.
Okay, well, you're back in the hole that you thought you may have escaped from. Guess what we're talking about again?
Overwatch.
There's Overwatch Funko Pops. It's their second wave. And I'll just read these out to you. We have Crowd Bay, Miss May, American Badass Jesse McCree, the world's favorite musician Lucio, not Portal Lady Symmetra, Precision German Engineering Reinhardt, stands 6 inches, so it's a big one. And everyone's favorite streamer, D.Va, and who is in a 6-inch mecha herself. So there's new Funko Pops for you all to buy and collect and put on your shelves and all that kind of stuff coming this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about them. One of the things I'm most excited about is how brown the McCree figure is.
Like, actually, yeah, both McCree, like, McCree is very brown. He's like, quite brown.
I know that it's a source, it's a question of some ambiguity, his actual heritage, because it hasn't been confirmed in a short or a comic or anything, but he's very often, like, headcanoned at least as having at least some, like, Latino heritage or Mexican heritage. And yes, it would be awesome if that were true. And the Funko Pop is darker skinned than the Madam President one from the Fantastic Beasts line, and she's an actual black woman.
Yeah, he's so about as dark as Symmetra, and Symmetra is Indian, so one would be led to believe that they are portraying some level of ethnicity with him.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
And also May's pretty brown too, which is not just a nice touch. So that's cool. These look very, I mean, they have their signature creepiness to them, but they're very cool and detailed, so I'll probably be picking up a couple of them. And Symmetra has one of her little turrets, which is the bane of most people's existence, but also a nice touch. And they all look very nice. And the other set of Funko Pops coming out, I think in 2017, does it say? In March, actually. It's second wave of Steven Universe Pops. Yes. So rejoice, friends. The universes are back in town. And we are getting Connie Maheshwaran, Peridot without her armor.
Connie in her training outfit specifically.
Oh, yes. Very nice one, which is very nice. I always like that outfit. Very cosplay friendly and practical. Peridot without her armor. Rose Quartz looking thin, but that might just be stylistic for the sake of, I don't know, whatever they do. All the characters are always thinner than they're supposed to be compared to their head, so.
Yeah.
She is thicker than the other characters, so I don't think they're trying to, like, make her skinny. I think it's, they want them to be weirdly shaped bobbleheads, and you have to take some concessions, I suppose. Then lapis lazuli with her water wingies. Well, wings made of water, not water wingies, because she probably can... You know, can she swim?
I'm going to go ahead and guess that lapis lazuli can swim.
I'm going to guess that she can't. I'm going to be bold and headcanon that she can't actually swim.
All right. Put money down. We'll have to go rewatch the one where Steven meets her and see if they actually interact or if she just stands on top of the water.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, let's be real, she probably can swim. But I'm just pointing out the fact that I can't see the situation where she'd have to.
Fair enough.
And then two versions of Lion. Lion, you know, the lion. One of them is a regular one, and one of them is...
Flocked. What's
the
word
they use? Flocked.
F-L-O-C-K-E-D. It means it has that kind of felty, fuzzy outside as opposed to the, like, plastic.
Ah.
They did that with, like, the Sesame Street Pops and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. But that one, dear friends, is a Hot Topic exclusive, so you're going to have to go into a Hot Topic to get those.
Yeah, so Godspeed.
Or Amazon, let's be honest. So yes, that's our Funko Pop Minute that we managed to sneak some more Overwatch into. we can't help ourselves. But yes, that's all that's going on to start off this month. That's the beginning of the month with our Black History news, and then catch up with all of our Funko news. They need to make like a Black History Funko Pop. And what I'm basically saying is, Funko, come make a Funko Pop of me.
Oh, I thought you were going to say of Frederick Douglass. I've heard he's been doing better and better things lately.
You know, I heard that once or twice. I saw a weird fact the other day that he was the most photographed human of like the 19th century or something, or...
Uh-huh.
18th, like, whenever I would be. And I'm like, you know, that's interesting considering everyone always uses the same exact one picture of him. So yeah. I don't know if those photographs were lost or what, but I've only seen like 3 pictures of the guy. But yes, he's done a great job and he's getting more and more recognition.
Nice.
Ironically, he is getting more recognition because I don't know if most, I guess, people that aren't fans of Black history knew of him before the president... talked Duke. About him in a semi-present tense.
In a tense that was just vaguely imprecise enough that he could be talking about something that continues to happen.
So now we have to ask ourselves a question which you should never have to ask of your president. Is he worse at history or English?
Man, that's a losing battle, no matter what the right answer is.
I'd prefer English, because if you know history, you won't repeat it.
True.
By accident, at least.
At least by accident, yeah.
The existential dread. Here's some music, friends. See you after the break. Romans, country geeks, lend me your ears. We are back from the break. Hope you enjoyed that music and the flavor that it had. Go support your artists. If it's, whether it's free or paid, go support them. Do what you can. Don't do what you can't. Peace, love, and all that stuff. And after that over-the-top intro, let's talk about a little bit more news of things that might be over the top. So, did you hear, Steph? They're making a remake/remaster of Final Fantasy XII.
I had not heard that. Tell me all about it.
I don't know anything about it. I just heard someone else on a different show talking about it, but, you know, you have to try to reach demographic. I don't play Final Fantasy games.
I once owned Final Fantasy XII. I never actually played it. I intended to play it, and then it sat on my shelf for a long time, and then I gave it to my brother, who played it, like, the same weekend. So that's my relationship with Final Fantasy XII. It's one of the ones with lightning in it, I think. Is that right?
I thought Lightning's in 13. I don't even know anything about this.
This is one I had. Is it Tidus on the front?
I don't I don't know anything about it, honestly. I was just bringing it up because I thought some people would care.
Cool. So how do you know how or what they're releasing?
It's a remastered version.
So just like updated graphics, gameplay kind of stuff.
It says revamped character models and cutscenes, autosave, shorter load times, improved turbo mode, whatever that is, a re-recorded score. So, you know, new music.
Oh, dang, that's intense.
It's a lot of work. The original soundtrack, if you want to hear it. Yeah. So it's announced for PS4 and should be coming out in 2017 in Japan. We should also be getting released over here in the West. So if you have a PS4 and you want to go back and play it, check it out. It got good ratings and people didn't hate it. Square Enix,
Strong. Square Enix, people didn't hate it. Like,
also, they're making a Marvel game, which, have you heard about that?
Are they taking time off from Kingdom Hearts 3 to make this Marvel game?
I assumed that, and someone's like, no, they're different studios, and I'm like, okay, like, there's several branches of government, but, like, when one of them's screwing up, like, it kind of affects the other one. And if Square Enix has enough, like, to have a sub-company working on another game, they could just have them not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, like, also, like, are you talking about Square Enix being a different part of Square Enix or a different part of Disney? Because Kingdom different Hearts part and of, Marvel are both Disney.
Yeah, a different point. Part of Square Enix. Because they also made, like, the Hitman game. Wait, do they make the Hitman games or Deus Ex? I can't remember.
That's a question you'll have to answer on your own.
Actually, you know what? No, Square Enix does do Deus Ex as well. That might be a clever. Yes, they're the ones who are taking a break to make the Marvel game, which is kind of junky because people really liked the Deus Ex games. But then again, Deus Ex also gave us the mechanical apartheid in Omnix Lives Matter, so look forward to that kind of nonsense in your Marvel game.
Woohoo, I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah.
Said no one ever.
It's so exciting, which means this isn't resources taken away from Kingdom Hearts 3, but it's resources they could have used. I don't know. I don't care. Just put Tony Stark or Deadpool into Kingdom Hearts and everyone will be happy.
Oh my god, can you imagine a Deadpool level? Or even just a Marvel level?
That would be great. Like, it could work. Like,
Goofy shield is Cap's shield.
Yeah, like, even if it's like a Halloween kind of... Like, Halloween Town could just have costumes that are Marvel, you know? I mean, Deadpool was on the Disney Channel, like, on like, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So you can make, like, a T a for PG, teen rated yeah. Deadpool. Yeah, you can make a TVY7 Deadpool. So, you know, he'll just unalive some Heartless, that sort of thing. And then we got some trailers that we are just have watched for you, dear listeners, so that you get the greatest, freshest takes. Steph, you want to tell me about Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yeah. So, Guardians of the Galaxy is a franchise within a franchise that I want to love so much. And it's just, like, a little... And, like, I don't want to say that my sense of humor is snooty, because it's not, but Guardians of the Galaxy just appeals to a different kind of lowbrow humor than the kind that I enjoy, I think. And so I always, like, I see the trailer and I'm like, man, this movie is going to be good. And then there's, like, some awkward joke that I just...
I think we have to make the point after a while, and it seems like social justice-y people dance around this for good reason, but I think sometimes there's, like, humor that will appeal to certain genders, like certain groups of genders, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And let me take it a step further, not even genders, but, like, subgroups of those genders.
Like, in the Guardians sense of the Galaxy humor is kind of like dude bro humor.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's bro humor, and that's not all guys, that's not even necessarily not girls, it's just, do you like dude bro humor? Did you think Deadpool was hilarious? You'll probably appreciate Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just a fact, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is why a lot of people said that Ghostbusters wasn't funny, and some people thought it was hilarious. It's just a different sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, I think... Here's the thing. I think they're trying to do better, like, a good... Not better, like, I mean... I think they're trying to do a good job with the movie, obviously, and in terms of better representation, like, they've included... Like, Nebula's joined the Guardians now, and I think Mantis is also going to be in it, although she's kind of been similar to Drax, like, a, like, comic relief character in the trailer so far, but in a, like, more... Title. Hmm?
She got a title, like a character title.
So like a card, like a title card kind of thing during the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Like she's a named character in the trailer, so I assume she'll at least
be
prominent for at least those two scenes.
Yeah. I think probably what annoys me most is that Yondu is on the team now. I thought he was the most annoying character in the first movie.
Yeah.
His weird little whistle arrow, like...
He's just, like, once you've seen... Do you know his actor's name?
No.
I can't remember. He's Merle in The Walking Dead. And once you just see him as him, he can't act his way out of that.
Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker, yeah. Once you see Rooker, like, that's who he is. It's... Michael Cera is always going to, like, no matter what you do to Michael Cera, he's going to be Michael Cera, you know?
Yeah.
And Rooker's the same. Norman Reedus kind of is the same way after mm-hmm. after he was Daryl.
Uh-huh.
He's just Daryl now. So, I don't know. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
The Guardians always, I think what they're trying to do, it looked like in this trailer, is like, well, we still want to do, like, dude bro edgy humor, but not like, we don't actually want to be sexist and or racist, but we do want to be edgy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is possible, but I think it takes a higher level of work.
Yeah.
To achieve that.
I think the thing I was most frustrated about with Yondu's character last time was that the time they spent on his character was time they could have devoted to giving Gamora and Nebula's relationship a little bit more meat. And I think maybe we'll actually get some of that in this trailer because they have such a complicated, like... past, having both been raised by Thanos, and like I think Nebula's really interesting and I would like to see more of her, so hopefully.
I mean, even if they don't, like, she's pretty important to, like, considering there's this big bad guy who is the bad guy of this whole entire cinematic universe. We're supposed to be invested in, and we know nothing about him, and not to take away a female character's story, in fact I'd love if she got a story. But that's the only connection we have, and it doesn't have any information.
Yeah, like, after what, like, 16 movies now, you'd think they would...
We saw him pick up the gauntlet. We still have... Have we been told in the movies that he intends to use the Infinity Stones, or do we have to just know that from comics, and everyone knows that by now?
That's a very good question.
Because I don't watch the Thor movies, and maybe they explained it then, but...
I mean, the Thor movies, the second one, had an Infinity Stone in it, but I don't remember.
Like, because all I know is that he wanted the purple one that his Grim Reaper servant wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And the Guardians were like, not today, bro. That's all I know. I don't know why Thanos wants to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, it's still a mystery.
But... I think more time spent on Nebula and Gamora would be good. I mean, even all the time they spent on Yondu,
his name is?
Y-O-N-D-U. I couldn't remember.
Yondu.
Yondu. That would have been time better spent just watching Groot grow a little bit, and that would have been pointless. That would have been better use of the time. So, it's a low bar to pass, but
yeah.
I think they'll...
Like, am I still going to see it? Yes.
I mean, if Mantis is on the team, that looks bad for the Avengers. That
yeah.
In two movies, they have... Three women on their team.
Yeah, they've increased the number of women on their team by 200%. And two of them are at least played by women of color, even if they are both aliens who are not actually portraying actual women of color in the show or in the movie.
It doesn't feel quite as bad to me, and you know, I'm kind of speaking out of turn here since I'm not a woman of color, but at least they have white people playing aliens too. Like, it's not just the black characters.
True.
You know, or the people of color. So, I mean, you have Michael Rooker who plays the whitest characters of all time, and he's playing a blue alien, so
mm-hmm.
I at least appreciate that it's not just the brown people playing the aliens.
Yeah. And Karen Gillan, who plays Nebula, is like the most like pale redheaded Scottish, like
Well, she should play the mystic one then. Jeez. Speaking of jokes we've made before, and to go back to sports for just a second, did you watch the Super Bowl, Steph?
I watched the ass end of the Super Bowl because I was at a restaurant that was playing the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, I didn't, but speaking of ass ends, let's talk about Mr. Clint again, because boy, apparently was thick. And I just saw screenshots. Can we talk about the Mr. Clean fandom again?
I thought Mr. Clean was asexual. I thought we had established this.
That doesn't mean he doesn't have a fandom.
Well, no, it's true. It doesn't mean he can't have, like, a nice butt.
I just like that this is where we're going. And, you know, I didn't write this in the show notes. It just popped in my head. But I was on Twitter watching Verizon send BDSM tweets at T-Mobile.
Right? It was weird. That was strange.
And it didn't seem to be reciprocated. So it was, but John Legere was instigating it. So, look, I don't know what's going on in the world, but if this is how we're going to cope with Trump's America is by just diving into horniness, and maybe Overwatch was the precursor. Tell me about Trump's America. Well, it's sexist, racist, and very, very horny.
And all of the corporate Twitters are PTF. Like, what?
They're boning. So, yeah, oh my god. Yes, we have a little bit more to go for the next break. You want to talk about Samurai Jack while I compose myself?
Sure, but can we agree that perhaps like corporate Twitters or DTF could be a potential title for this?
I think so. I mean, they said I think they made a point that like T-Mobile service is bad, so no one will hear your safe word. So like, yes. I've never seen a corporation sexually flirt with a company and instigate a beef at the same time.
I was gonna say while dragging them.
Like, yo, you suck, but like, if you want to get naked later.
This is the world we live in. I mean, here's the thing. I haven't been on Tumblr since Sunday, so there could have already been and gone an entire world of anthropomorphized company fan art.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, Dom.
I have an idea. Listeners, you're hearing this in real time. So remember that one time we cosplayed as social media websites?
Yes.
I think it might be time to anthropomorphize companies now. Like, just wear like a whole bunch of leather and just like a Verizon outfit. And then like a ball gag that just says, "Can you hear me now?" on it.
You can wear it to the rave and you won't have to breathe in the rave dust air.
You know,
steamy raver.
So, you know, it might be practical to actually have a Roadhog cosplay at the rave so you don't have to breathe in that nonsense. Good lord. Samurai Jack trailer dropped this week.
Yeah, let's segue
5.
Right, he'll turn right over to Samurai Jack.
Look, there's no grace when I just said a Verizon ball gag with "Can you hear me now?" on it. There's no way to, you don't segue out of that, you stumble out of that in a haze. Speaking of which, 50 Shades Darker comes out this weekend, along with Lego Batman, so choose wisely, listeners, but, you know, if you're a Verizon customer, you know where to go. but yeah, Season 5 Samurai Jack has been not really teased for a long time, but definitely something people have been asking for for a while.
Yeah, like, talked about, like, there has been hype for it, whether or not it was actually
real, being
planned or existed is a different story.
Yes, and out of all the Cartoon Network properties with a similar art style that were like Jenny Tartakovsky and Craig McCracken creations, Dexter Still in the Dark, Powerpuff Girls didn't do so well. I really need to change my opinion on our blog. I endorsed it. I was wrong. But Samurai Jack, they went the other way. They're like, hey, Adult Swim, you want to go wild with this? And we have a Season 5 trailer, so what'd you think of the trailer?
Well, they've very clearly embraced the fact that this is going to be airing on Adult Swim instead of regular Cartoon Network, because there is a lot of blood. I think there was at least a curse word.
You know, I didn't notice it because I was like half talking to you, but I'll go back. He was shooting some folks.
Yeah, so one of those like Aku ladies stabbed a person in the eyeball with an arrow. The actual stabbing was off screen, but it was obvious that that's what she had just done. Like, they were Aku ladies, right? Like, they looked like...
They were with him. Like, their head mask dresses had his, like, angular flame thing.
I was surprised there didn't actually have any Aku in the trailer, though.
I thought I saw his shadow.
Okay, yeah.
Tease him? We know who he is.
Yeah. I mean, in the purposes of full disclosure, I have never watched Samurai Jack all the way through, and I think it was airing at a time when I didn't realize that cartoons could be serialized as opposed to, like, standalone episodes. So, like, whereas, like, the Dexter's Labs and other shows like that, you could just pick up any episode.
Yeah, like, there was, like, continuity ties, but there was never, like, a season plot.
Yeah, so I'm not sure.
Well, like, from what I understand, it was the way that Steven Universe does it, is that there's an arc plot, or, like, Danny Phantom, there's an overarching plot, but each individual episode isn't specific. Like, you don't have to watch them in order, I think. Don't quote me on that, but...
Okay, well, to fix this, Adult Swim has put up the entire first four seasons streaming on their website for free with no login.
Yes. And that's dope. That's good. I wish more companies did things like this. I don't think people want to steal stuff. I think they'd rather watch it legitimately. Free is definitely better than having to pay for it, but, you know,
yeah.
I think people will pay reasonable fares for things they want. So it's nice that they're like, hey, come look at our new thing. We'll give you something for free. Come for the mock anime, stay for the real anime. You know what they say. Yeah, I never really watched Samurai Jack either, but I always thought he was super cool. Like, one of the episodes I saw, I think it was like a silent episode. Like, it was very slow. So I thought that's what the whole show was like. And then someone's like, they showed me the clip where he gets, like, the murder high heel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this show's hilarious. What is this? And they're like, that's what it's always like. Like, oh.
The only episode I remember watching distinctly, because I feel like it's one of the episodes that, like, you know, there are sometimes shows where you just somehow catch the same episodes over and over, even though there are thousands of episodes?
Yep.
I have seen multiple times, there's an episode where he is transported to, like, to a forest where the trees are very tall, and he makes contact with this race that lives in the forest that can jump really well, and he thinks that they're flying, but they're like, no, we just jump good. And he learns how to do their, like, their jumping technique over the course of the episode, and then at the end he's fighting Aku again, and Aku's like, where did you learn to fly? And Jack just says, I'm not fly, I just jump good, or something like that. It's like a... similar to the Toy Story, like, I'm not flying, I'm falling with style. Like,
I might actually have to watch it. It seems cool enough. And in other Cartoon Network based news, again, I'm deviating from the notes. I'm essentially a rogue. I'm rogue too. Are you familiar with The Amazing World of Gumball?
I'm not. Well, I mean, I know that it exists, and I have no clue about what the show is.
It is a weird little show. Like, all the characters are in different art forms, the backgrounds. It's like a hodgepodge of art styles.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not seem like it would work, but the writing is really witty.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are pretty cool. I like it. It's a fun little show. So, and there's like a plot, like a vague arc to it, but I don't watch it frequently, but I'll watch it if it's on. It has some great gags. So apparently, you know how there's like all those knockoff cartoons and other countries and stuff that are
like Brave Princess kind of thing,
or like Transmorphers or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there was one that ripped off The Amazing World of Gumball, like, incredibly directly. Like, they took an exact scene from Gumball, and that, except they were like goats instead of like cats and rabbits. So The Amazing World of Gumball was like, okay, we see you. So they did an episode where they found those characters and sang a song to them about being original, and then send them off to, like, somewhere else. And I'm like, yo, that's not even trolling. That's not a dragging. That's not even petty. That's expert level. Get out of my house. When you copy your copycat to make fun of them, that's... mwah, that's chef kiss right there. That's amazing. But yeah, that's I think that's all the news, right? That's everything we've got, whether it was on the notes or not.
Yeah, that's everything we've got for this section, so.
Cool. And just to check, did you get anything this week? Because I didn't.
I did not get anything this week. It was a slow week for the funds.
Okay. Well, you know what, friends? We still have something for you. I mean, we're improvising, but it was planned. There was a Steven Bomb this past week. Steven Universe episodes. Was it a Steven Bomb, or did they just release episodes? It was a Steven Bomb,
because there were more than one episode in a week.
Okay. Great. Well, friends, we're going to get into that. I think we're going to usually just go into spoilers when we get back from the break.
Yeah, let's do that, and then people can opt to not listen past the whatever beautiful music you're about to play.
Okay, so you know what? I'm going to do the spiel now for everybody. I'm going to do it hyper fast. So if you don't want to be spoiled for Steven Universe up into that current season, I guess. Through That'll Be All, that's the name of the episode. It's the most current stuff that we know of. I would tap out now, but before you tap out, say you want to hear more from Stephanie and myself. You just love this podcast, and you're like, I like their format. It's great. What are they breaking it for? It's because we care. But if you want to hear more from me, you can go onto twitter.com and search at Brother Dom. That's BROTHADOM. You can find Steph at Captain Steph or on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. As Brother Dom, you can find me pretty much anywhere. It's kind of my brand. You can find us both writing long-form intersectional feministy nerdy stuff at the Lady Geek Girlfriends blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. You can follow this podcast and all of its good stuff at Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle. Character REV on Twitter. Or just search Character Reveal on Facebook. You'll recognize the logo. Or also on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And we had some good posts go up this week on Lady Geek Girl, so you can go check those out. And as always, the songs are in the show notes, and I think that's everything, right?
Yes, let's hit some music, and then we'll talk about Steven Universe.
Yep, so thanks for listening, and we hope you are here after the break.
Got this week was a Steven bomb, as we mentioned before the break. So that was we are both anti-leak. The two of us opt, even if it means encountering spoilers on Tumblr at times, we opt to not watch the episodes before they're supposed to have aired.
Yeah, I try to watch them when they come out rather than finding them all leaked, because dang, were they leaked.
They were super leaked.
Except, like, That Will Be All wasn't leaked, was it? It seemed like that just kind of came out when it came out.
No,
like,
I think close to... that one was okay. But I know that the episode at the beginning with Blue Diamond was leaked, because I saw it on YouTube, like, a week and a half ago. I didn't watch it, but I was like, what's this thumbnail?
Yeah, so I actually had to go back and watch Three Gems and a Baby, even, because I hadn't seen that, because that was also at a weird time. That was been December by itself. But yeah, we had about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes. So I guess overall, how'd you feel about this little arc, or do you want to give like a synopsis or
yeah, I'll give a quick rundown. So in this arc, Steven is looking through I think it's the book that Connie found under the was that the specific book?
Yeah, it was the journal, I believe.
Yeah, the book Connie found in the library. And there's a picture of a palanquin. And when Steven confronts Gems about it, they're all very close-mouthed and suspicious. And it turns out that the picture in the journal is of Pink Diamond's old palanquin in Korea. And so we are introduced to the reason Cousin Andy exists, because he flies... He flies, the Gems won't let Steven go, so Cousin Andy flies Steven and Greg to Korea.
Greg is rich, he could have just bought a plane ticket.
And where they find Pink Diamond's palanquin, and it is accompanied by Blue Diamond's palanquin, because apparently Blue Diamond loved Pink Diamond very much, and she is visiting that spot to mourn Pink Diamond, and she spots the universes. And apparently Pink Diamond was a creeper and had a human zoo, and so she kidnaps Greg to take to the human zoo in honor of Pink Diamond. And so, of course, the human zoo is 70 million light years away, so they use the ruby the gems, and Steven use the ruby ship to fly to Pink Diamond's human zoo. Which gives me, like, puts my back up every time I say it or think about it.
Human zoo?
Yeah, because that's a real thing that people did to people.
Yeah, but, you like, know, the gems aren't known for their progressive attitudes.
Yeah, I know. And it's not like they treated it particularly like
how human zoos actually worked.
Yeah, but like, it's not like they weren't like they were flippant about it, but it seemed like a awkward thing to.
They tried to stay away from like, oh, this facility, like this, they were referred to like the structure, mm-hmm. but they would. I think they only called it a human zoo like once or twice, like only a few times.
Uh huh.
Because they're like, we can't keep saying this. This is bad. Also, the gems treat the humans in their facility better than we treat, like, animals we really like in our zoos here on Earth.
Yeah. Which is,
and the gems are pretty, pretty staunchly evil. Like, they pretty much...
Yeah, they're pretty like, just, like, a lawful evil race. Like...
And they're like, well, we don't need to hurt these humans. We just want to blow up their planet. There's nothing wrong with the species. They're adorable.
Didn't they just want to get rid of the planet because it didn't fit their, like, expansion plans or something? Like,
no, I think they just wanted to get rid of it because Yellow Diamond's petty and is mad that Rose shattered Pink Diamond.
Okay, I couldn't remember what the actual.
Yeah, because Pink Diamond was doing something. Yeah, Pink Diamond was doing something there. And Rose Quartz was like, yo, this ain't cool that you're doing this to the humans. I think they were going to make it a cluster, which was going to destroy it. Like, it was part of their plan, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They were just flipping about the humans. It was just unfortunate for them.
But yeah, anyway, so yeah, Pink Diamond has a zoo of humans, and Blue Diamond, Pink Diamond had, let's be clear here, Pink Diamond is no longer alive, like Frederick Douglass.
I was going to say, Pink Diamond is getting more and more recognition.
Oh god. Blue Diamond steals Greg, puts him in the human zoo. Gems fly with the Ruby's old spaceship to the human zoo to rescue Greg at the same time that Blue Diamond is visiting and also Yellow Diamond.
Yeah, Yellow Diamond just showed up to comfort Blue Diamond, I guess.
Or to, like, gloat or something. I wouldn't call what she did comforting.
And I feel like that was the best you could do. Or maybe,
like, the Yellow Diamond version of comforting, which is kind of, like, yelling at you for being sad.
But then also kind of crying, like, oh, I'm sad, too.
I'm sad, too, and that makes me angry. Like, but anyway, Greg gets put in the zoo, and we have an episode of Greg and Steven escaping the zoo, and the people, the humans, who are still alive by some miracle mystery... After inbreeding. Several thousand years of inbreeding in the zoo. Well, the thing I think I told you this in a separate conversation, but the thing that confused me about the humans in the zoo, the zoomins,
You didn't.
I did it. I did. Is that the show was obviously going for a group of people who have grown up without human gender norms or, like, racial markers.
Yes.
And so, like, there were a bunch of people, none of whom you could tell the gender of by looking at them, pretty much.
I feel like the protagonist ones that are interacting with Greg the most,
more male and female coded. Yeah,
they were vaguely coded boy-girl, but after that, it was just a mass of people.
But the thing, I was like, how are they... procreating, because none of them should be, they shouldn't have this diverse range of skin colors if they've all been inbreeding. They should all just be like a muddy brown.
Well, yes.
Point.
So there's two things that are possible here. There's the meta reason is that if that was the case, then that would be the Steven Universe creators would have to acknowledge sex, which I don't think they want to. And then other... gems are highly discriminatory and color-based, and it's quite possible they assumed humans should be color-based, too. And, like, I'm not saying that the gems support segregation on a moral basis, I'm just saying that they're named after gems with certain colors. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Anyway, so yeah, so we are treated to like a weird like space utopia episode for the episode where Greg is in the zoo, because these humans have always been raised by the gems and there's have never experienced hardship or hurt or pain or variety. And are shocked and upset when Steven and Greg introduce these concepts to them on their way out of the zoo.
Yeah, they have like a, I guess which would lead to a mating ritual. It's not explicitly said, but it seems to be setting up mating. And Greg's like, nah, B. And then he's like, you should be able to choose who you choose. And then everyone's like, oh, well, we want to be with you, Greg. And he's like, I gotta go. I still love my son. / wife, girlfriend, guardian. And they get rescued / yeah. Captured.
Definite, like, subtle hints toward bisexual Greg universe, I would say. Because
Greg was just like, I'm in love with Rose. It was his, it seemed to be his reason for no.
Yeah. But yeah, so Steven and Greg escape, and they get to fly home with the gems, and Pearl gets her one-up moment, because in order to infiltrate this base, Garnet had separated into Ruby and Sapphire, because Sapphires were high-ranking, and so she could, like, kind of boss her way through the zoo without being questioned.
She basically just make up lies and people assumed she was still in the future.
Yeah, but Pearl had to pretend to be her servant, and so the people at the other gems at the zoo were also treating Pearl like crap, and at the end she got to have her, like, TVY7 version of fuck you.
Oh, and it was, ooh, I think it would have worked just as well in, like, rated R. Even if you were allowed to cuss and she still did, and it was so perfectly... This was better than Nephew.
It really was.
And so, I mean, I think these 5 episodes had very little filler. I'd say the trip up in the Ruby spaceship was kind of filler.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of gave... Go ahead.
I think the next episode's going to be kind of fillery, because it's about... I think the one this week is supposed to be about the... or whichever one comes out next. About the second stringers, as it were, who are still on Earth.
I mean... That could either be the most tragically boring filler or, like, such great action, because...
True.
Like, between Connie, Peridot, and Lapis, there's, like, so much potential things you could possibly do, and Andy might still be there, and Lion. So, there's potential for good things to happen. I mean, it's been a while since a corrupted gem decided to go ham on Beach City.
Yeah.
And Onion is still Onion, so, I mean, there's work to be done. But besides the trip up, which only just told us that the gems still are made of light and Steven acts irrationally, there wasn't a lot of filler. They did get Greg out, the main guard, Holly Blue Agate,
yeah.
So you know how we're playing Dungeons and Dragons soon? Mm-hmm. Holly Blue failed several spot checks, like, critically bad. Like, she was rolling straight ones, like, to sneak out of the space station. They walked, like, behind her, like, under her field of vision. It was humorous. And when Greg and Steven escaped the zoo, they were kind of... When Greg rejected the other humans, they all started crying and causing discord.
Mm-hmm.
So some Amethyst and Jasper's, like, just various courses, came and were like, you humans, you need to come with us. And they're being all aggressive. And they throw them in a room of Amethyst. And it's like, psych, we were hanging out with Amethyst, and we're all... just clowns.
We're all just goofballs. We're all from the same kindergarten.
That made me really happy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like it's something that Amethyst, especially when fighting Jasper, has struggled with, is her, like, sense of inferiority as, like, a core student cook long enough, basically. And I feel like even in this episode, she was, like, worried that as soon as she saw, like, the full-grown Amethyst, that she was going to be kind of the runt of the litter again.
I mean, even though she was, still, she had, like, the personality to back it up here.
Yeah, like, she wasn't, like, she is the runt of the litter, but she wasn't treated like it by her family, basically, which was she was worried about.
I think the difference is that it's not so much that Amethyst was the exception of her kindergarten, but Jasper was. Like, Jasper should not have been as strong as she was. Like, that just happened.
Uh-huh.
Like, by Paradox, where she's the most perfect gem I've ever seen. It's like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen in this garbage kindergarten. It was just, I guess, just luck or a great engineer. I don't know. But it did show a lot of the gem dynamics. It was pretty cool. I still like Yellow Diamond's little Pearl. She's a sassy little asshole. It's hilarious. Like, she is the worst. And I'm still curious who... And I don't like it. Who was Pearl to?
That's something we don't know.
And, like, how big...
Was she Pink Diamond's Pearl? Like, since the diamonds appear to have one pearl apiece? Like...
Well, I mean, yeah, it sounds so gross. They seem to assign her to Sapphire, so I feel like there's more pearls just hanging out. But I don't know, maybe. She was hanging out with Rose Quartz for a reason. Yeah, we didn't point out, because we're in spoiler land, when Blue Diamond is kind of mourning at Pink Diamond's sanctum, as it were, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of bubbled quartz, like pink quartz.
Oh, yeah, within the...
Like throne room, I guess. Yeah, like the heart
of the zoo.
I guess, was that even... So was that whole facility a zoo, or was it like Pink Diamond's ship? Or no, because her ship would have been a hand as well.
Yeah, because all the ships like, are hands. Parked around the...
What a weird gem trait. Like,
yeah.
Jasper also had a hand that Peridot piloted. That's just those ships.
Yeah. Ships are weird. But yeah, so in that weird room of the zoo, there were a ton of other bubbled rose quartzes that I guess Pink Diamond or Blue Diamond bubbled after Pink Diamond was shattered because they remind her of Pink Diamond.
I guess, like, all the gems are super gay, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious that that's, like, their most crippling trait.
Oh no, I'm gay. like it, for all of them, like that's like Pearl's like I'm bitter because I'm gay. Garnet's like I will protect the earth because I'm gay here. Like,
that's, I mean, that's pretty much their justification. That's why Blue Diamond was even on Earth.
Yeah, it was like to see her GF's grave. Like,
and Yellow Diamond's just a jackass.
Have we? There is another diamond, right? We haven't... Is there a white diamond we've not seen yet?
Yeah, she exists.
So, the thing about the quartzes is I wonder if the rose quartzes that are bubbled are... Like, if Rose Quartz herself was a rebellious rose quartz, or if that's, like, a trait that was problematic within the entire rose quartz.
You know... I have to assume there must be something about them that's specific. I mean, they probably have similar powers, like defensive or healer powers, because, you know, Rose just has a sword. That's not her gem weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, because all the quartzes, at least the amethyst type ones and Jaspers, mm-hmm. are hot-headed and goofy.
Yeah.
Even Jasper, who was, like, scary, was a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
If we're being honest. Apparently all the pearls share, like, daintiness and all the kind rubies are...
personality.
And all the rubies are dumb. That's their base trait, I guess. So I'm assuming all the roses have a penchant for beauty.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm curious as to know is, what position was Rose Quartz in where she was able to shatter Pink Diamond? Because, like, the diamonds are huge, and it seems like you'd have to find a way to get really high up to get to their diamond to shatter it with the breaking point.
Maybe Lion? Could, yeah, like, but jump you up there? Like,
For sure. But it just seems odd that you'd be able to overpower something that much bigger than you.
Have you ever watched anime, Dom?
Yeah, I guess. It just seems...
It seems out of line for Steven Universe's existing world-building, like, world rules.
Yeah, like, not the most... not the maliciousness of it, but just the feasibility of it, especially mm-hmm. since Rose was her shield, and she couldn't dual wield weapons. Like, she had to just be shield breaking point at that point.
Yeah, she wouldn't have been able to also have a sword.
Unless the only thing I could think of is that they fused into that thing that was the temple's made out of,
like all of the rose quartzes, or all the gems.
The crystal gems, or I don't know, whoever would be necessary to make that fusion, and they defeated Pink Diamond, because that would be, I mean, because Alexandrite's pretty big. If you add Rose Quartz into there, that thing is going to be a monster.
Yeah, and I think that would also make sense thematically, because it would be like a fusion of four different kinds of gem, or five different kinds of gem.
Yeah, and that would be a star, finally. That's probably where the star comes from. And I'd say you would take that to, you know, defeat Pink Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whenever a gem gets defeated, they retreat to their gem. And maybe when they said, I saw Rose Quartz shatter Pink Diamond, like, maybe she just, like, shattered the physical diamond, I don't know.
Yeah, but shattering the physical diamond still kills the gem.
I get that, but I meant, like,
they didn't, like, watch her, like, personally, like, climb up Pink Diamond's leg and stab her in the gem, you mean?
Yeah, I needed to work that out in my head, because I'm like, I don't think she, like, jumped off a building, like, I'm gonna break your point.
That would be really, really badass, though. Can you imagine, like, Rose just, like spread eagle, like, flinging herself off the top of a building and just, like, landing, like, breaking point first in the gem?
Pearl
would do it.
I'm not saying Pearl would imagine that.
Pearl could definitely imagine that.
Yay. Adultizing children's cartoons. Steven Universe has a lot of things. They ask a lot of questions that have adult answers. Like, how the hell did Steven get here? And, like, how does he have Greg and Rose's DNA? Like, there's no child answer for that. Like, Rebecca Sugar, like, there was some boning happened, right? Like, well, Pearl's gonna get back to Earth and see her sweetie pie whenever she comes back, whatever her name is, Mystery Woman.
Yeah. So, well, I think the most exciting thing about this Steven Baum, besides the fact that it was just an enjoyable and quality series of 5 episodes, is that it set up a lot for the future. Like, there's no way this is the last time we're going to see the humans on the zoo. There's no time this is going to be the last time we hear about the Rose Quartzes. Those amethysts are probably going to show up again somewhere, like...
Probably. That was such a great gambit. Pearl's like, I wouldn't tell this to Blue Diamond that you just let a bunch of rebels and a pearl get away. And all the amethysts are like, yeah, boss, what are you going to do now?
Yeah. So I think they've set some very interesting and fun things up for the future that I'm interested to see how they play out.
Yeah,
Steven Universe too. Plays the long game, so it might be a while before.
They do. Good thing they're patient, because, wow, like, this show really kicked off probably on when Jasper showed up. Like, it was building up to that, but I think that's when it was like, oh, the show went from, like, oh, it's a pretty cool show to, like, this show's the shit. But, like, this first 10 episodes kind of, alright, this is alright, cool. Actually, yeah, there's nothing, like, that wild in the first 10 episodes. Like, it's just a lot of world building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, whatever. And then 12, once Giant Woman comes, you're like, okay, the show's gonna be anime, I'm all in. there's music, there's anime, that's when the show probably jumped off. Yeah, that's, oh well, I'm glad it's here.
Yep.
It's been 3 years. So.
All right.
I think it's everything. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that about sums us up for the Steven Universe. We already gave you the deets, listeners. All of our usual wrap up biz.
Yep. And if you want to hear it again, just rewind, because why bore you twice? So, you know, I think you good stuff. You feeling good?
I'm feeling good.
Good.
Just finished my glass of wine, and I am ready to do more work.
I'm jealous. I'm drinking green tea with vitamin C, because I don't like drinking water, like, when I'm doing stuff, so. I can drink this weekend, though, so I'm excited.
Oh, congrats.
So, listeners, I don't drink during the month of February unless there's a special occasion / Valentine's Day event. That's always a clause I built in. I was never able to redeem that clause until this year. But for the last few years, I always try to cut alcohol out of most of February just to reset after the holidays and make sure I'm not developing any bad habits. So you never want to, it's easy to give up drinking until your friends are like, hey, we're having a beer. Like, oh man, I want to join the group. So, but this weekend, probably going to get swifty this weekend. So
good stuff.
Great. So listeners, thanks for staying by, and we will see you later.